Okay, it is 6 o'clock. Welcome, everyone. I am going to call to order the March 2nd, 2021 meeting of Town of Heath Select Board. This is a virtual meeting, and this meeting is being recorded. The first item on the agenda is our identification of callers. So I'm going to start the roll call. Myself, Robin Provost Carlson, I'm here. We have Gloria.
I'm here.
We have Brian.
Here.
Helma. Helma's here, muted. We have Bob Dane. Thanks, Helma. We have Bob Dane.
Yes, I'm here. Thanks.
We have Chief McDonough with us.
Yes. Here. Yeah, I'm here. Just had to unmute. Sorry.
That's all right. We have Pat McGann.
Here and recording.
Jesse is here. Jesse Wiegand.
Yeah, whole Wiegand family.
Thank you. Bob Gruen.
Here and not recording.
We have Melanie with us, the treasurer.
I'm here.
Maybe Pat. No, I got Pat. Who else? Who am I missing? Pam is probably here. Pam, are you here?
I'm here and not recording.
Right. Sue Lively, I just saw.
And Ann Emmett.
Oh, and Ann Emmett. That's right. Thank you. I forgot. Sorry.
Not recording.
Is there anybody else that I've missed? All right. Very good. Welcome, everyone. The next item on the agenda is the review of the agenda. The one item that I have been asked to insert or move on the agenda is the Golden Cane designation. We've been asked to have that be held at 7 o'clock, which I know is in the midst of our budget hearings, but I'm going to, unless there's any objection from any other select board member, I'm going to say that we will move that Golden Cane designation to the 7 p.m. slot, and then and ask the police chief if he will be okay bumping back just a little bit.
Yes, I'm fine.
Gloria,
with that.
Go ahead, Don. Sorry.
No, I'm fine with that.
Okay, thank you. And Gloria, do you have any items for the agenda?
I do not.
Okay, Brian, anything?
I don't at the moment.
Okay. Helma, is there anything else that I missed?
I'm all set.
Okay. Great, thanks. So next item is, I should announce, we have a 6:15 appointment with the treasurer budget hearing. That's at 6:15. So we'll get as much done as we can before that. Public comment is the next item that is on the agenda. And I think Bob Dane asked to speak, and I'm not sure if there was anybody else. So yes or no. Okay, so Bob, do you still want to speak?
Thank you, Robin.
You're welcome.
I'd like to, I sent a letter to the select board, but it's in the packet, I imagine you've read. And I've made a couple of revisions on it and a little bit of an update. So I'd like to read the bulk of the letter now as my public comment. So, dear members of the select board, despite widespread concerns expressed by the Heath community that the select board appears to be continuing to entertain moving town offices to Jacobs Road on a temporary basis under the pretext of COVID mitigation, this effort continues despite the high likelihood that the vaccine rollout will in short order render this pretext inapplicable. Despite promises made by the board to put any decisions on the relocation of town offices to Jacobs Road up for a town vote, the board appears to be pushing its own agenda. This is unfortunate, and at its core, a repudiation of the Heath tradition of democratic consensus in major town decisions. I also understand that this move has not happened as planned, in part because of the malfunction of the town phone system in the building. Town officials and employees have been working from their homes, and some continue to work in Sawyer Hall. Given the current situation, I am writing to ask a specific question of the select board. I understand that the town's IT provider has indicated that moving town offices to Jacobs Road will require a major upgrade and rewiring of existing cable lines to Jacobs Road in order to accommodate even the temporary relocation of town offices. I understand that the town's IT provider has estimated the cost to be about $10,000, and that this upgrade would only be an interim solution that will work for 4 to 5 months. The town's IT provider has indicated that a longer-term solution will be much more costly. Specifically, I would like to know what amount of town funds will be spent to upgrade the telecommunications infrastructure at Jacobs Road to accommodate the temporary relocation of town offices, and from what source will these funds be coming from? Massachusetts municipal law is very specific with regard to spending of town funds. In particular, the allocation and spending of town funds have to be authorized by the legislature of town sitting in town meeting. I am not familiar with any town meeting or special town meeting where the authorization of funds to pay for the upgrade of any telecommunication system at Jacobs Road came before the towns. It would seem to me that the expenditure of $10,000 of town funds to upgrade the line at Jacobs Road for a temporary relocation of town offices at this time is at best a frivolous expenditure, and at worst possibly an illegal and unauthorized expenditure of town funds. That aside, could the board please provide the public with more detailed information on this expenditure, and specifically where the funds to pay for this upgrade are purported to be coming from? And I've attached the emails from Douglas Sudnick and his associate Joel, in which they say that based on an industry average of $135 per data run to new hardware, we would estimate the rewiring of the current configuration at $7,500 to $10,000 between labor and materials to replicate the current configuration. However, the current configuration will likely need to be expanded for future utilization, which requires design and review. So that's my question. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Bob. As the chair, I am going to take this opportunity to respond, and so that you don't have to wait for a response on that. I did take a look at that email, and I did pull it up. That's two of a chain of emails. So I am going to kind of read a couple of the other emails to give you a little bit of explanation so that you can understand that there is no $10,000 that's being spent at this point. There was no money that was spent at this point for any office relocation. Some time ago, prior to the discussions about a temporary move, and this is months, if not over 6 months ago, maybe a year ago, conversations took place about potential costs to use the Jacobs Road building. And one of those potential costs that was determined by Northeast IT was the upgrade from the Cat 5 to Cat 6 if the building was going to be used for long-term offices. And that was going to run a cost of $7,500 to $10,000 unless tech students did that. So that snippet that's attached to the email from Doug is, in fact, from Joel from some time back. That's not in regards to a temporary relocation of any office space. And so the continuation of this email chain actually has a direct email that is from me to Northeast IT, and it's questioning if, in fact, the level of work that was required to cost that amount of money would be required for a temporary move, because that was, in fact, what I was asking for at that point in time. I was asking for information to provide to the full board in an open meeting, as I said I would in the meeting, in one of the select board meetings. So, and I quote, I'll actually read the Monday, December 21st email that was sent. It says, thank you for responding to Hilma's email in regards to town offices being located at the Jacobs Road building. I just want to be certain we are on the same page. The select board will continue their discussion about moving some of the town offices to Jacobs Road on a temporary basis due to the increased concerns about town employee safety during the continuation of the COVID pandemic. Are you saying to us that this level of work is required for such a temporary move? We are trying to look at any possible option to help with the safety of employees, and Jacobs Road is certainly an option for a rapid move, but not if we are looking at undertaking the data cabling project to allow such a move. One of the other discussions includes working remotely from home. What would be required for that option? What are any potential issues with that option? And then Northeast IT responded back in the same chain and actually said that for a short-term move, we would be okay as long as we didn't need to connect into the Cat 6. And that was the discussion we had at the select board meeting. We would not spend money to upgrade for any type of a temporary move and would only be looking at that type of a expense if that time ever came. But that was not what we were looking at when we were talking about the temporary move. So I hope that helps with some of the questions, and you can certainly let me know if there's any more clarity needed. But that is a full email chain that is in the select board emails. But thank
you. So at this point, no money has been spent.
Correct.
No money has been spent at this point.
No. To upgrade the cabling, correct.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very
You're
much.
You're welcome. Welcome. Is there anybody else who would like to speak during public comment tonight? Bob Biringo. Yes.
Hi. I wanted everyone to know that I just got off the phone with Dave Howland, and he was not aware of the Golden Cane Award. He told me he was very honored, but he'd really rather be back in heat. And he's working really hard to get back on his feet it's actually a specialized rehabilitation hospital that he's in. So I just wanted to share that news with you guys. Thank you.
Thanks, Bob. That's great. And you weren't here earlier, I don't think. We're going to do that presentation at 7 p.m. tonight. We're going to interrupt the budget hearings for 7 p.m. presentation of that Golden Cane Award.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Betsy, go ahead.
I just wanted to say again that if you know anybody who, as they become eligible for the vaccine, every Friday afternoon, starting somewhere around 3 to 5 in the afternoon, on the FERCOG website, there will be links to a private appointment for signing up for appointments to get vaccine in Franklin County. So please just let everybody know as they become available. Just spread the word. We're trying to do the reverse 911 every week to alert people. But, you know, people don't get the reverse 911, whatever. Just make sure everybody learns about it. Thank you.
Thank you, Betsy. Is there anybody else that would like to speak during public comment?
Robin, I would like to say something as a resident.
Oh, sure. Go ahead, Hilma.
I just want to acknowledge I was able to get an appointment to get my first vaccination Saturday down at the Mohawk High School, and I was extremely impressed with the process. Everybody knew it was all volunteers. Everybody knew their job. They knew what they were supposed to do. They knew where they were supposed to be in the room. It was very organized, orderly. And, you know, there were a lot of volunteers from Heath, but besides that, our surrounding towns, Charlemont, Coleraine, I'm sure other towns as well. And I just want to acknowledge that we have an awesome bunch of like first responders, nurses, EMTs, and I think we need to be darn proud of them.
Great. Thanks, Selma. I agree. Thanks to everyone. Other people for public comment? Anybody on the phone that I can't see? All right. Well, great. Thank you, everyone.
And I also received a vaccination on Saturday, and I'd just like to second what Hilma said.
Thanks. Thank you, everyone. All right. It is 6:15, actually 6:16. So if there's no one else for public comment, we're going to set aside the minutes for a while, and we're going to go into our group of appointments, which are budget hearings, and they are held in conjunction with the Finance Committee. I see Ned. I see Alice. Who else is here?
Jan's here.
Ken will not be joining, he said at the end.
Okay. And Jan, right?
And Will should be coming, I think.
Okay.
I think
he will.
Yeah. I think he's coming, but I don't see him.
Okay. So just a reminder for everyone, for clarity of us hearing what's going on, if everyone can make sure they're muted, except for the select board, finance, and the individual who's up for their budget hearing. So first one is Melanie. The first one is the treasurer. Should we wait for Will? Oh, there he is. He's coming. There he is. Great. All right. And you guys have already... Finance Committee, you've already called to order and in a separate room?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, great. Melanie, welcome.
Thank you.
Do you want to start and maybe go through what you sent to us?
Sure. So one of my first correspondence that I received from the tax title attorney when I started was just reaching out to let me know where some of the cases stood. And she sent an email saying that, I'll just quote it, due to budgetary limitations in the past, the previous treasurer asked us to hold back on pursuing these cases. And so then looking further into it, I see that it started this year negative in the revolving fund. And the list that she had sent for her to compose that and do a little bit of research cost about $500. So I haven't had any correspondence really with her since, because there isn't any money to pay for any of the bills coming. There are some that are still active in land court, and those are still being paid. So it is still going further and further. But looking at the history of the revolving fund, it looks like FY19, there was $15,000 appropriated and authorized for spending. At the end, it had a balance of $6,036.77 going into FY20, which ended with it being $1,003.66 in the hole. So as of right now, knowing that I have a $500 bill that needs to be paid, it is already in the hole $2,622.81. So it doesn't leave any room to pursue these cases that are just sitting there. So I'm looking to possibly maybe something we have to talk about with Dave too on how we can fund it other than just appropriating money. But I think initially, whether it's decided the revolving fund is not working out altogether, then I would like to increase the treasurer's expenses so that way there is some money to pay the tax title attorney.
Ned, Finance Committee, do you guys talk about this?
We didn't talk about it, no.
I had a couple questions.
Was that you, Alice?
Yes.
Yeah, go ahead.
Melanie, I see you sent the tax title. I'm on my phone, so it's a little small. Have you noticed I'm trying to remember if we have had any sales of properties that would or should have gone back into that?
I don't think you've had a sale, like an actual like auction.
Mm-hmm. Since it was initially started in 19 is what you're saying.
All I see it going in mostly for revenue is refunds coming back from land court. So it's money that was put towards cases that didn't end up being used and was sent back.
Right.
There isn't anything substantial going in there that would actually fund anything. There's a lot of like the $75 that's just collecting the fee that's going to be paid out for like redemptions.
Right.
And but if nothing to fund it.
Gotcha.
I think if there's a way, I think where the accountant would come in, if there's, you know, a way to take like gain of sale on land and apply it to there, then that may keep it going in the future. But initially to even get there, it needs to have some money to start it off.
I know we had a significant sale back and it must have been pre-19. I believe it would have been somewhere in the ballpark. Maybe it was 18, because that should have been a hefty deposit into that account if so.
It looks like the revolving fund started in 19. There was no carry forward balance. It's just starting with the 15,000 that was appropriated at ATM.
Right.
That's correct.
Melanie, this is Jan. I see that you have 17 properties mentioned as requiring further research, either by the title attorney or just investigative research.
Yes, this list does need to be updated. I know there's at least one I've seen on here that has been redeemed, and there are others that have gone in since that she does not have.
For Gloria, do you have questions on us?
Yeah, Melanie, this is Gloria. So when you raise the treasurer's expense from $3,500 to $5,000, is that meant to be used for this tax?
No, that wouldn't cover it. That wouldn't cover it. That is for expenses. It's at 6 months, it's at $2,000 already. So I need a printer that broke. I'm using the copier right now. It works. The only thing is if, you know, I put the stock in there and somebody else prints, it's going to be printing on the stock if it happens to cut me off. It works now while I'm the only one there usually, but.
So how much do you think you might need for the tax taking?
So it looked like the first year it was about 9,000 or about 9,000 the first year.
Is that what you're thinking you need again?
I would like to go with the 15 again and then see where is the end of the year. I don't think that there would be time to have an auction in this coming year. It looks like there's work that needs to be done, notices that need to be sent, and updating to be worked on. I wouldn't think that there'd be an auction until FY23. So the 15,000 again, I would think, in order to start off the following year, if there was any left in it.
So let me, I guess I'm confused. FY22, you need, you're hoping to get $15,000, you're saying you need that, but you wouldn't be able to do any tax taking until a whole nother year later?
No, sale of land on the possessions, if that was possibly a way that we can fund the account. That's okay. Something should run by the accountant, I think.
I know you don't probably have an answer to this, but if the town actually does end up taking someone's property and selling it for auction, are you going to make back that $15,000? I'm looking at some of these properties and I'm going,
it could be a loss and it could be a gain. It would only work out if there were a gain.
Okay.
If that's even a possibility. Once again, that's something to check with the accountant.
Check with the accountant because they will know what...
I'm not sure what you can use for revenue to cover for the revolving fund.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay, thanks.
I'm not sure when it was set up initially, what the intent was on how it was going to be funded after that.
I'm thinking the intent was that sales of land would go back into it, or sales of property would go back into it. That's what I remember, but
I think so too, Gloria.
It's supposed to be a self-sufficient thing. I think what's happened is when currently there was so much historical stuff that was never dealt with. Some of it is land of low value. And realistically, that is just a transfer and a license. It shouldn't even, it's supposed to be for sale of property like the one we had on Sumner Stetson Road that actually put the money back into the fund and keeps it sustaining.
Was that not a one taken through tax title and possession? Was that just town property?
No, it was taken for possession and then the money, but it was done prior to the establishment of the fund.
Correct.
Okay.
Because in essence, if the money is a win, then it goes into the tax possession account, is my understanding. It gets certified if it's a win through free cash, and then you would put the money back into the account to keep it based on that's what was funded. I believe, I'm not totally certain, but I believe it's something to that effect. Like you have a windfall because of certain properties that were sold, thereby you put the money back in to continue nobody wants to take people's property, but unfortunately the reality is we are a business and that's what we, you can't just, if one doesn't, you can't treat people differently. So.
Right. Well, and we had that good size auction where there was quite a few properties taken. I just don't remember when that was.
It was a while ago. So, Melanie, at some point, this list of open files, can you get it updated? Because you said some of these people have paid off and there's new ones to be added.
This is just the list that the tax attorney sent. I have an updated list of the tax title. I just wanted you to see her status of saying that it's been sitting since 2018.
Gotcha.
That's why I sent you that one, not the other.
Mm-hmm.
Is this is this revolving fund capped? That's 15,000.
At ATM, it looks like it was voted that it would the town would just allow spending up to 15,000 for the year.
maybe it seems that we should probably raise that. I know it's not going to solve the immediate problem, but you can see that you've got 17,000, almost 18,000 in expenses, and that account only had 15,000. If we raised it to 25 or something in the coming year, we're proposed doing that. That might help a little bit.
It looks like your expenses, sorry to interrupt, are 17,000 because it's showing the 15,000 that's being authorized for spending. So that's not actually part of the expenses. So it's.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, the revolving account. Well, if we ever get any money put into it, but and that's one of the ones that's money in and money out without having to go through a lot of dancing around.
Right.
So
how do we deal with the negative $2,622.81? Do we ask the finance committee to tap into the reserve fund on that, or what do we do?
I think we leave it for right now. I mean, unless we want to have a special town meeting and transfer money or have a finance committee do that, but Dave seems to be fairly comfortable leaving some of these things for a while.
Right. Well, we got to have a plan for it at some point.
Oh, we do have, yeah, we do. And so we can get one. This is just all, this is new information for me, so my brain is still processing.
Yeah. Today's the first time I've thought about these things. It's totally new to me. I mean, it's something that is very much an ongoing fact of what happens in the town, that's for sure, but something I haven't been following.
So there are other lines here. Maybe we should talk about those. Do we need, I mean.
Yeah, so I was just gonna, is there, Melanie, is there anything you wanna go over on the rest of the expenses?
Health insurance is the one that worries me because that's exact for who is enrolled and what plan they are enrolled in right now. If that were to change, that could change drastically. But it looks like from past years, it's just been done for what it is. So I did that for this year based on who's enrolled now and what plan they're enrolled in.
Okay.
It's nice to see it go down.
Yeah.
What a concept.
Melanie, do you know how they handle it in North Adams? Do you guys budget for an extra plan or an extra person, one or two people on a family plan basis on the option that someone leaves and a new person comes in with a family?
No, there's a couple hundred people enrolled. So it's done more over just looking at trends.
Yeah.
Gloria, do you have other on the
No, I'm just thinking that I guess, Melanie, you don't probably know this, but why did we get a one-year note for the highway cab?
I don't know.
So we're going to renew it. We're going to redo that to make it a longer-term loan. Is that the idea?
Yeah, I talked to Unibank. She's got it on the calendar to reborrow when it comes due. That one I didn't realize was 1 year. It had budgeted last year. Let's see, what is that? $10,400, and then when I was looking at what was actually due, it said that $52,000 was due. So I was like, "What?" So I reached out, and she's like, "Yeah, it looks like that it will need to be reborrowed again then in May." And they have it on the calendar to notify us and help us through that. But
okay, great.
Yeah.
And the broadband notes 1 and 2 have now become broadband interest note one, and broadband interest note two is the newest one. Is that correct?
Yep, the one that we're borrowing right now. So that interest paid on it now is the accurate, not estimated, like the initial one I submitted to you.
Oh, okay. That's all my questions. I really appreciate the care and time you put into this. Thank you.
Thank you.
Brian, do you have questions for me?
No, I don't. Not on this.
Ned, do you have questions?
I don't now, but I recognize a need for me to ask questions, and I'll be looking more closely at it.
Other FinCom members, any questions right now for Melanie?
None for me.
Jan, Will, anything? Nope.
No. Nothing.
Okay. Alice, do you have more questions for tonight for Melanie?
No, I can. If I have any questions, I'll just contact her directly. Thank you.
Sounds good. And I think I'm set for right now. My questions were already answered. And what about, so Hilma, anything that you need from Melanie or that we're not thinking of?
No, not right now. Thank you. Okay.
Melanie, is there anything else that you need from us?
No, I'm all set. Thank you.
Thank you for coming tonight. So we'll be back in touch, and we'll have to talk about this, the tax-taking piece, definitely. Thank you for all the information and the hard work.
Thank you.
Okay. Next, if I can find my agenda, is the fire chief. Is Nick here?
No, I don't see him.
He's got 3 minutes.
Oh, yeah. Look at that. Yeah. All right. Minutes. Anything else budget related? 3 minutes? Gloria, anything?
No.
Brian?
I can't think of anything at the moment.
Ned, you got anything you want to talk about for a couple minutes from FinCom? Well, muted.
Robin?
Yeah.
We did talk about consolidating lines of Article 3, and so we will be hopefully sending you a proposal, you meaning the select board, proposal for that. Yeah.
Okay, great. That's great. Well, we will look forward to seeing that. All right. Nick? I don't dare start anything. We could sneak in some minute review, but I know then he'll show up here. Trying to think if there's, Helma, is there anything else you can, budget related? We can sneak in?
Well, not really, other than to announce that the school committee voted at their last meeting and approved a proposed budget for the towns for this coming year. And I'm sure that anybody could view at the school district website if they were interested.
Hey, that's a good point.
And it's nice to know that our assessment went down.
I know.
Yeah.
I'm so happy.
I wanted to ask, I was going to bring it up later, but I wanted to ask that we call in school committee members for kind of a review of the budget.
I think that's a good idea.
Probably with FinCom.
It's not on the agenda, but I think we could announce that we were awarded a $35,000 grant to help with regionalization for consultant expenses, such as lawyers and educational consultants.
Yes, and send a thank you to everyone who worked so hard on that. Bob Gruen, Budge, Ken Rock, thank you for that. And yeah, we can hopefully talk about that too when we have our, maybe talk about the budget when we bring people in. Maybe in our next meeting, Hilma, not this next meeting, but our next FinCom joint meeting, which would be what, 2 weeks? Maybe try to have a school committee. Okay, it's 6:40 now. Nick, is he here?
No.
Whoops. Well, we can talk about it.
Can we do? Yeah, we could.
Yep, we can do that. I think it's pretty self-explanatory, but.
Well, I have one comment, and that is the $650 for highway fire internet. We had decided last year that all internet charges would come out of maintenance and utilities for highway, fire, community hall, Sawyer Hall. So we can take that off here that Nick added back on.
Correct.
Because I guess no one told him, but.
So we should let him know that. Helma, can you let him know that?
Yes, actually, since he sent the his budget, he and I have had discussions, and he understands that now.
Okay, good.
So we got six more firefighters?
Yeah, that's great.
Yes.
From the east?
I know. Yes. I've been hearing through the grapevine, actually. I see him a couple times, and yeah, more and more people are joining. That's wonderful.
That's great. That's really good.
Youths, even. Youngins.
Yeah, young guys. Yeah.
Even better.
Yeah. No, it's great. So I guess there's really no question as to why that number went up. There's the dollar change there. He's pretty clear with his explanations.
Yeah, he is. I appreciate that.
And it only makes sense that vehicle wear and tear and maintenance that's going to go up as it's true as those vehicles get older. We should probably talk with him at some point. We just have to keep our eye on that equipment and the age of it. That's probably in our capital plan too. We should be looking at that at some point, pull that capital plan and really be looking at some of those other vehicles.
Yeah, so I have a question about the fire trucks. Are they like the highway trucks that they go by hours, not miles or years? You know how Jeff typically says, well, you have to count how many hours we've put spent in the vehicle, not how many miles.
I think they do. Yes, I believe they do. But I'm not going to like sign my name to that.
Okay.
Robin?
I see. Yes. Nick is here.
Yeah, Nick joined.
Nick.
Hello. I'm here.
Hello. Hi.
Hi, Nick.
Hi.
We were just saying how wonderful it was to read the note that you have new members.
Oh, my gosh. You've got another one going to show up Thursday night, too.
Really?
Yeah. Young people, too. They're
young.
Under 60. Yeah, under 60.
Yeah.
Yay. That's nothing. We're not knocking the older people here. Don't let me.
No, but I want people younger. I want people younger than me.
I get it, but that's not saying anything bad about older people.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I'll take whatever.
That's right. Everybody has a place. Everyone. So don't let your age stop you. So we were starting to go through it, Nick, and we understood the incentives going up, obviously, for this very reason. And we were just commenting on the equipment, the trucks, the maintenance. And Gloria was just asking a question about The trucks, the engines, do those go by how many hours when you guys refer to them, how many hours of use the piece of equipment has had, or is it mileage or year? How do you, what's the gauge on those?
The, usually on those trucks, 20 and 25 years is when you usually replace them. Is that what you're looking at, replacement time or maintenance levels?
I think we were just talking in general.
General. Yeah, it's a combination of hours and miles. I mean, because they don't, obviously, you don't put high miles on them. So either hours or time, the oil gets changed once a year regardless. And they go for, we do the same thing down in Cold Rain. Every year they go in for full servicing. That way everything's gone through at least once. If the call volume goes up or something, you know, they get really busy, then we might do a second maintenance interval on them. But usually a one thorough go through by a professional mechanic usually is pretty good for us.
In the past, I think I said this last year and then I may have forgotten to do it, which I apologize because it's just coming in my head now. But the equipment, Jeff and I have worked on, and he's working on actually doing some more updates to it. But we tried to start a major equipment vehicle log. We really should roll in the fire department equipment into that log as well.
Okay.
So maybe you, me, and Jeff could kind of talk about that and get everything onto one document so that Select Board and FinCom can actually kind of follow that along too.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds good.
But do you have other things on your budget that you'd like to go over with us?
No, it's pretty straightforward. I mean, I'm just looking at stuff here. Do we ever figure out what happened to the Highway Fire Internet account?
Elma?
Or Gloria, you want
to? I guess we forgot to tell you, Nick. Last year, we decided that with the Finance Committee and the Select Board decided that instead of having a separate line for the highway, fire, internet, Sawyer Hall, community hall, those funds would be taken out of the maintenance and utilities account because internet is kind of a utility. So that's what's been happening, and so you don't really need that line on your budget request.
Okay, so then when those bills come in, I use a general utility number to submit those against. Is that what I do?
Yeah, it's the maintenance and utilities line, which I don't know what the number is. But
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
The one you pay the phone bill out of and the electric bill out of. If you pay phone bill and electric bill, but or heat or whatever.
Yeah, I've got, yep. Oh, so that just got rolled into fire department maintenance utilities. Is that what you're saying?
Yep, that's what happened.
Okay. Awesome.
So
it kept coming back negative, and the accountant was confused. I'm like, I don't know. It's $49 every month, the same way it's been for 3 months. I mean, for 3 years.
Yeah.
So, all right, good. Very good. And then, all right, that's the only, I don't know. I guess that's the only one I had that was a mystery.
So do you think you're going to need the $7,000? Speaking of that account for the maintenance and utilities account?
We pay maintenance and utilities also covers my heat. It's a propane.
Right, right.
So
yep.
Since the bill that came in a couple of weeks ago was $1,600. So I
you think it's going to be 7,000?
I have to pull up what it actually was last year. Oh, last, well, 67,1182.
Okay.
Or something like that. Yeah, I mean, it'll be close. The propane does chew up a lot.
Yeah, it does.
Nick, are we still good getting our Scott Pack serviced at Colerain Fire Department?
Actually, I get air done at either Colerain or Charlemont. I have options now.
Okay.
Our lieutenant's on Charlemont as well, so if he's heading down to their fire station, he'll take the bottles down there. If I'm heading this way, I'll bring them down here. Or if they're training down here in Colerain, they'll fill them up here.
then the actual maintenance themselves is done by a private contractor who will come in and service the packs once a year.
Are there any other purchases or needs that are coming down the pike for the fire department, Nick?
The radio stuff, I think all the Franklin County towns are kind of grappling with that radio changeover. I put in a grant for $8,500. There's like a state grant thing that was floating around. So that's kind of, it's going, but they're not sure when we're going to receive the funds. There was some kind of holdup on it. And they want us to order the radios, but we're all saying we can't really order the radios until we know what we have for funds. There's some equipment that has to be bought up front when we place the order for the radios, and there's some other stuff that we can get at a later date. But the radio orders themselves have to be placed. So there's two kinds of radios. There's a base model, then there's an upgraded model. And so some of the truck portables will be upgraded, trying to upgrade the portables. And then all the other radios are going to be base models. So I'm just trying to see how much money I've got to play with on that. And that's the only real major capital expense that I'm dealing with.
Okay. We should also just take a moment, and then I'll open it up to FinCom, but to recognize the fact that members of the fire department, and I'm going to apologize because I'm really not sure who all took part in it, but the town was saved some funds by the fact that a bunch of individuals proceeded to construct the roof structure for our cruiser, which is really appreciated and was really needed to protect one of the vehicles that the town owns. So I don't know, Nick, if you want to just kind of let everybody know.
Sure. There was a multi-year project the town had there's a beat up ATV that we really weren't using. So we get rid of that. And the space there where the old lean-to next to the garage where the brush truck is housed wasn't really being utilized. And the police cruiser really needed to get out of the weather. So we started with a bunch of fire department volunteers. We started, trying to piecemeal it together and get something up. It kind of ran out of steam a little bit. And then Jim Cerrone rescued us. So, I mean, actually the fire crew volunteered the time and effort to make it happen. And Jim Cerrone provided the guidance and most of the expertise. So now your police cruiser is out of the weather, which John, I'm sure is real happy. But it was a good use of the space and it freed up an additional parking space too. I wasn't totally unselfish. We needed some spaces. So, but anyway, that was a good little project that basically came out of my operating budget. It wasn't a whole lot of money, and I think it'll be a good use for the town.
Agreed and appreciated.
Thank you.
No, you're welcome. We couldn't do a chicken barbecue, so we had to do something constructive.
Appreciate it very much, fire department. Thank you.
You're welcome.
So, Gloria, do you have any other questions for Nick?
It's sort of a question. Talking about the radios again.
Yeah.
I don't know where I saw it, but I think it was on the expense reports from the accountant. Is there already a $7,500 grant that we got that we haven't spent yet for the radios?
No, there's a 20. We've got a $2,500 grant, which was that was from. Our EMD procured it through some MEMA funding. So we're sitting on 2,500, and then we think we got we're pretty sure we got the 8,500, but we just don't know when it's going to show up. So that'll give us 10,000 to use for radio stuff.
And do they know when this is going to start? I know it's been going on for a while.
Oh, the famous radio. Okay. So the famous radio project itself. It's been going on for a couple of years. And
yeah, I went to one of the first meetings.
Okay, so yeah, so basically they want to have all the towns put their orders in for the radios like now, like within the next couple of weeks, certainly by April. And then the thoughts are to have everyone have their radios purchased by the end of this fiscal And the radios are live. I mean, like, if you have the radios, you can use them right now. They have it wired into our current simulcast, and the 800 are currently live. But excuse me, but the countywide shift is looking, I think they're trying to do it by July or end of July to have everyone start to switch over.
What?
Okay, that's good. That's what I was wondering. Thanks.
Yep.
Brian, do you have questions for Nick?
I don't think so.
Finance Committee, Ned, do you have questions?
I did read an email. I think it was from you, Nick, about the radio project. And besides talking about possible funding for the radios, there was mention of repeaters as something that, it sounded important. How important will that be?
Well, you know, that Ned, that's a good question. A bunch of the chiefs are grappling with how important those are going to be to us. And it might be, we're not sure, actually. We're not sure on how the whole system's going to work yet. So while there was a big hurry to, you know, look into the repeaters, I think I'm going to sit on it. I think a couple of other chiefs are just going to see how it all plays out and see if we actually need them as much as they say we do. Basically, the repeater will connect from a portable. If you can reach the truck, it'll give your portable the power of a mobile radio. But if you're in a place where your mobile radio doesn't work, your portable is not going to work any better. So it's not going to, it basically gives your portable the power of the mobile if it can reach the mobile. So, and what we're finding, we're not sure how some of these dead squads are going to work. So it doesn't make sense to, invest in, they're like $12,500 per repeater. And they, you know, they're looking to put one per vehicle. So that would be, that's a lot of money to fork out if I'm not sure how they're going to work. To be honest with you, there's different frequencies, but we actually have two repeaters from the last go around sitting brand new in boxes that we ended up not using. Had some issues with the repeater in the 450 megahertz system. So to answer your question, it could be important, but we don't know yet. So we're just going to get the radios in, get them up and running. And if there's something we got to do next year, then I'll work on another means of securing funds for that. At least that's my plan for right now.
Yeah. Thanks.
Yeah, you're welcome. Or the wind could just blow everything away and we won't have to worry about it.
Thanks. Yeah.
Mm. Other finance committee members, do you have questions for Nick?
I do. This is Will Emmett. Actually, it's kind of a fire question too, being that I'm one of these eight people or six people who've joined the department. Does that mean that these pagers that we have will be no good?
Nope.
After.
Okay. Oh, you'll like this. This is even better. So they're going to keep the 450 to page off. And then when you get your page off the 450, then you sign off on the 800 system. That's for now. I don't know. Who knows what next year will bring, but that's how they're doing it right now.
Okay.
It's going to be a dual system. Yeah.
Anybody else from FinCom?
Just a comment, Mr. Chief, if you could swing across the parking lot before you leave.
I will do that.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Put telephone on mute.
Is there anybody?
Nick, this is Gloria again.
Yep.
Is the infrastructure up for these radios? Or are we starting without it?
The infrastructure is in place. Towers are up. Like I say, it's fully functional. Yeah, it's a functional system. I mean, if they gave us new radios today, it would work. It's not 100%, but it would definitely function.
Well, I appreciate all you're doing, and I really appreciate you going after some grants because it's really very helpful. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
Is there anything else from FinCom or Select Board for Nick? Any other questions or concerns?
None for me.
I have none.
All right. Nick, do you need anything from us while you're here?
Nope. I'm good.
All right. Great. Well, thank you. Thank you for everything.
Oh, you're welcome.
Keep up the good work. Get more people.
Yeah, that's happening.
Appreciate it.
Yep.
Good night.
Welcome. All right. Have
Thanks
a good
a
evening. You're welcome.
Sure.
Bye, everyone.
Night.
Night.
All right, look at that, 7 o'clock on the dot. So as I mentioned, we were going to, FinCom doesn't know this, I don't think everybody, but we're going to interrupt the FinCom budget hearing just for a minute here at 7 p.m. And we have a golden cane designation presentation to do. And I'm turning this over to Helma as the town clerk, I think. Am I correct?
Yes, you're correct. Thank you. I see that Martha is here. She just joined the meeting. Martha, is your brother going to join us as well?
No, I don't think so. Not tonight, no.
He's not going to. Okay. Okay. Well, let's see, as changes occur in the residents of town, one of my duties as town clerk is to be aware of who the oldest resident of Heath is. And at this time, I would like to present to the select board for their consideration that David F. Howland has become the town of Heath's oldest resident. And if you so deem him worthy at 95 years of age, that you would vote to award him what is called the Honorary Golden Cane Award for the town of Massachusetts.
Is that what you want us to do now?
Yes, please.
All right. Thank you for bringing this. Then, Gloria, would you like to make a motion?
I would. I would love to. I move that the town of Heath award David F. Howland the Golden Cane, the Honorary Golden Cane Award as the oldest resident of Heath.
And I second that.
And is there any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Gloria, aye.
Brian, aye.
Robin, aye. Congratulations.
We love you, Dave.
Thank you. This award is strictly an age designation. However, as most of us who are on the meeting realize, David is somebody that for many of us, I guess his unofficial name is Mr. Heath. He has given time and hours and dedication for the betterment of this town and for community and all of us who live in it. And he is, as far as I'm concerned, completely worthy of any recognition that we can give him.
Agreed.
So thank you very much.
Hey, I talked to Dad this evening, and he is aware of what you're doing. And is deeply moved, very grateful, loves this town and the people immensely. He has always been a public servant, but this particular place is very, very, very special. So I moved. I love Heath. It's my home too, even though I haven't lived there very long. So I just want to thank you all. Thank you all for this, for Dad. He really appreciates it.
Thank you. Select board members, would you like to say anything? Gloria, is there anything you'd like to add?
Dave is my mentor. He's probably a lot of people's mentors. He is very worthy of whatever award we can possibly give him. And I would go so far as to call him the mayor of Heath, but, you know, who knows?
Yeah.
Brian, would you like to add anything?
Well, he's always been my model public official in the town, and I certainly have had a long history with him as a select board member and in various other capacities. And I just wish him the best and that he recovers well enough to come back to Heath as soon as possible.
Yes, and I would just like to echo everything that is said. I have totally enjoyed the conversations I've had with Dave and have always appreciated the input and the assistance that he has given to everyone in town. And I am very honored to be the chair of the select board during this presentation. So thank you all. Okay, is there anything else? Help me with this.
Just one little more note. I had the privilege of serving for 2 years on the select board with Dave, and it amazed me because it was shortly after the first educational formula came out and was developed, and I believe it was more complex than the formula they're using now. Dave understood it. I don't know how, but it was amazing because he could speak to anybody and explain it when the rest of us were totally baffled. Sometimes even the Department of Education officials in Boston would get lost, and Dave just kept walking right through it.
Thank you for sharing that, Helma. Very nice. And I assume that the certificate that we had an email of, we'll have that printed out for signatures.
Yes.
Great. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you all. Thank you. Thank you for taking the time. Thank you for allowing the 7 p.m. change of the budget hearing to have this happen. Appreciate everyone.
Well, very much. I'll be sure and pass along your comments.
Thank you. Thank you. All right. That puts us a little behind. Let's see, 7:07. That's perfect. So the next budget hearing we have is with Chief McDonough. You got to unmute there.
Yeah, here we go.
Hi.
How we doing?
You can start.
So my request looks like a lot this year. However, in 2020, I asked for an increase of $1,000, and it was granted at the town meeting, at the annual town meeting. And in 2021, I got shorted $1,000 from that increase. So I'm really asking to restore the $1,000 in the expenses. And other than that, I'm looking to up the salary of the officers within the department to try to bring it more in line with other county towns of similar size. And that's all I have for budget items.
Doesn't take long. Gloria, question.
Yep. Hi, John.
Hi, Gloria.
I know this is going to sound like a stupid question, but I really don't know the answer. I know part of it. What do you use? What are police expenses? I mean, I know they're uniforms and stuff like that, but is there anything? What are they?
Oh, well, it could be anything. There's uniforms. There's equipment that may not be a vehicle expense. Ink pads, there's targets, there's ammunition for for requalifying every year for training. There's medical supplies in the cruiser that's a fully equipped for medical stuff. If we use something or it gets outdated or whatever, it could be radios. It could be this fiscal year I had to replace due to this storm, I had to replace a computer, printer, ink cartridges, you name it. There's just many things. There's now the original increase for the $1,000 that I asked for 2 years ago was for the computer program. And that first year of the program was free to us. So I turned in $1,000 the first year of the increase. I turned back $1,000, and that's probably why I got shorted because I didn't use it because it was free to us. This year, scrimped, saved with the computer issue, et cetera, replacing. You've already had a conversation with the fire chief about radios. I just sent my order for the radios in today to the FERCOG for review, et cetera. I'm not going to be seeking any funding capital wise for radios. I'm going to take care of all that through my account. And again, I scrimped and saved heavily for this because I know how the town is. I know how tight the budget is up here. I know what your tax rate is up here. It's very similar to my own. So I'm not just looking for stuff, you know. If it's in there, I need it. The vehicle is in really good shape. It's got low miles. It's maintained. That budget is still good. I'm using some of that money for the mobile radios, et cetera, this year. Because we don't have to buy any tires, which are rather expensive, which a set of tires putting around that would pretty much chew up the vehicle expense. Next year, we may have to do something with the radar unit. It's kind of acting a little weird. I'm going to see if it's something that is a fixable thing or if it's a replacement thing. I'm not sure.
John, thank you. That's great. I mean, I really didn't know, so I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Sure.
Brian, do you have questions for John?
I just wanted to point out that we go through the budget hearings and look at the requests first, then we look at cost of living and any step increases, you know, and we do review the salary survey that the Council of Governments puts out to try to keep our salaries in line with other towns. So that's coming, that review.
Yes, we're going to have that on one of the agendas coming up soon. Agree. Did you have other things, Brian?
Another thing too, is there anything that could be construed as a COVID expense that should be included in the police budget? Something to think about.
I've been receiving some things. We did have some things that were through the, since almost a year now, that were purchased, and some of it was used at town meetings and some of it were used at elections. As far as sanitizing stuff, et cetera. I believe there were reimbursements that went in through the FERCOG. I just received something from last week. I believe it's a MEMA request for a MEMA disbursement. And I put a fairly sizable request in with them to try to offset gloves, gowns, sanitation stuff. All kinds of stuff. If it just comes here and sits on a shelf, or if the fire and rescue can use some of this stuff, if they run low, I'm more than happy to share that with them. The fire department has been great to work with. And but I don't have anything specifically in my budget that I'm looking at that I'm thinking I need that for a COVID reimbursement.
Okay. If you do think of something, you can coordinate with Hilma, who's handling that.
Sure. Okay.
Anything else, Brian?
That's all I have.
Okay. FinCom, Ned.
I don't really have anything. The approach to the pay matter, which Brian spoke of, is in tune with the FinCom's approach to that matter.
Okay. Anybody else from Finance Committee have anything for the chief?
Oh, sounds good to me. This is Will.
Thanks, Will. Alice, Jan?
No, nothing from me.
All right.
I have a quick question on salaries. I know typically we obviously have the Heath Fair, which is a large venue, which requires a lot of policing, et cetera. Will, since that was not the case, very unfortunately, for the past year, will that impact your salary and budget line?
For your
existing, sorry.
If anybody that keeps daily tabs on the expenditures or whatever, I am higher right now than some of the other ones that are on a regular basis for that same period of time. They are getting out and doing some additional patrols right now.
Sweet, thanks.
Anything else? Any other questions? Select Board, Finance Committee.
I'm good, thank you. Thanks, John.
You're welcome.
John, do you have any questions of us or any needs from any of us?
Oh, I've got a big one coming, but I spoke to Hilma about it earlier. It has to do with the police reform, a bill that was signed late last year, and potential for training that may be coming up. It's very all up in the air right now. But there could be some huge expenses coming as far as training, and nobody is really saying if this is a town's responsibility or if this is going to be a state reimbursement thing, because it is their bill and it is their beliefs as far as where everybody should be at.
Is that for this upcoming year?
No, I don't believe so. there is a 5-county select board meeting coming up, according to the email I got yesterday. I believe it is the 22nd of March. It's going to be a Zoom meeting, and it's with a police chief from Chelsea, the Franklin County president of the Police Chiefs Association, and I believe from the Mass Chiefs Association. And that may be very well the same information that I got in the mail. Maybe they'll have new information by then. I'm really not sure.
Okay. Yep. Anything else? Anyone on the police budget? All right. Well, thank you, John. Greatly appreciated.
Well, you're welcome.
Thanks, John.
Thank you.
All right. It is, 7:19. So next is, we have 10 minutes, if we need those, for a wrap-up discussion with Finance Committee. Ned, did you have things that you wanted to bring to us from the Finance Committee?
I don't. I mean, in one sense, there's a lot to talk about, but we we're kind of focused on one item in meeting, and
that's all.
It is a big difference to have a school assessment that is $53,000 less than the previous year than it is to have one which is $108,000 more than the previous year.
Agreed. So we'll try to do the school committee at the next meeting, and what other budget hearings are people looking to have? Gloria?
We were talking about one last week, but now I can't remember what it was.
Municipal light board.
Yes, yes, thank you. That's exactly what it was.
Maybe those two in 2 weeks, municipal light board and school committee.
That sounds good.
So maybe that allows us enough time to be able to go over the the proposed Article 3, the budget line items, the combining. And Ned, you had your hand up. Go ahead, Ned.
Well, we spoke earlier, like maybe a month or so ago, of the importance of sometime there being a meeting focused on the kind of borrowing for broadband, the longer term borrowing for broadband. We are glad that it's sort of in order and resolved for the near future with the recent borrowing of $450,000. But looking ahead to September, we need to think about the nature of that borrowing from September on. There are options. We need to know what the options are.
Okay. All right, other budget hearings. Anything else, Brian, other departments you want to hear from?
Can't think of any.
Anybody else on FinCom? Any other departments you can think of you'd like to hear from? Okay.
Would it make sense if we had questions for the upcoming school committee to send those ahead of time? Or is it better to handle them on the spot, if you will?
No, I think it's a great idea to, if people have questions, specific questions, we could get those pulled together and get those sent out. Probably for both, actually, municipal light board and school committee. Those are two larger, well, the school being a very large number, obviously, and the municipal light board being a very new entity. So I think it would be good to kind of brainstorm questions. When's FinCom meeting? Are you guys meeting on, how often are you meeting at this point in time?
It's about every 2 weeks.
Okay. All right.
Is there a budget for the municipal light plant that we just haven't been given yet?
We actually will be talking about the municipal light board meets Thursday. And we'll be talking about numbers and getting that information out. We're going to be looking at the budget in general.
So will it be a layout very much like the other departments that we've been dealing with in an Excel format with just some explanations and titles, or?
I don't really know yet, Alice. There'll be items that we know for a fact that we've discussed that will be the response, well, that we'll have to keep in the town budget. But I think we still have further conversation have about what the actual budget looks like, you know, what numbers are going where. But yeah, I assume to answer your question, yes, there'll be some type of an Excel spreadsheet. But still a little up in the air. We're kind of working through it. We do have recommendations that were already sent to us from the municipal light plant manager. And I think the municipal light board needs to review those and then make recommendations to the select board, which will then go to the FinCom as well.
And would that encompass some of the items that are currently, and maybe you already stated this and I just wasn't clear on it. Some of the, there's a couple items on here under the municipal light plant manager on Article 3, expenses, Wired West and assessments. Would those numbers be part of that number package?
They will be. The manager, the recommendation will come that that municipal light plant manager remain on Article 3 as it was last year at this point. And correct me if I'm wrong, Jan or Ned, the Wired West, I think, goes away. Is that correct?
I think that is correct.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
So would that be the assessment and the expense line for that? Or just one or the other?
Does anybody remember that? I don't.
Be the $1,000.
Yeah,
the expense line is for to help pay for people's travel to Wired West meetings. I'm not sure if that's going to stay or go, but that's what that's for.
Right. That may roll into another line item. I'm not sure. That's one of the ones up for discussion still. I think we need to continue that discussion.
And I guess it depends on how long we Zoom for.
Right. Right. Right.
Yeah, good point, Jim.
Yep. So what else? What else, Gloria? Anything?
No. you can tell I'm thinking while I'm saying. No. Can we get another Article 3 type budget up to date sent to us before the next meeting? Is that possible, Helm?
Yes, it certainly is.
Excellent. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. A couple of meetings ago, you had briefly discussed the possibility of having the Building Facilities Committee come in to discuss like any recommendations they might have in terms of like major projects for building maintenance. Is that something that you are still interested in having happen?
Yes, I would think so. I definitely want to schedule, and we were going to talk about this when we get to the agenda, but we do want to schedule to have that committee come in. I think there's a report hopefully coming our way, and I'd like them to present that. And I'm not sure, FinCom, if that's something you want to be part of, or if you want us to report back to you, you guys can kind of think about that. But we definitely want that to happen sooner rather than later, as we need to really deal with some of those budget items, I think, in this next year's budget. Other items. We do have an appointment at 7:30, so it is 7:29. We have a minute. If there's anything else that anyone would like to speak to in regards to kind of wrapping up the budget hearings for tonight?
Not me.
I'm good.
All right, FinCom, anything?
Nope.
Robin, we'd like to have a motion to adjourn. Is there a FinCom member ready to make that motion?
This is Alice. I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Okay. I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye. Dan.
Aye. Alice.
Okay.
Thank you very much, Finance Committee.
Thank you, Alice. All right.
So some of you may be hanging around. If not, it is 7:30, and Jesse, you are here. So if you'd like to unmute yourself, if everybody else would make sure they're muted for clarity, other than board members, town coordinator. Go ahead, Jesse, the floor is yours. You've asked to come to speak to the select board this evening at 7:30, and the topic is concerns with constitutional rights. And I think
much prefer to have a conversation with you all individually outside of this public format, but this is the format you all chose. I think it's, unnecessarily burdensome, but this is what you chose. I believe American citizens should be able to exercise every single constitutional right afforded to them without interference by the state they live in. Lots of states out there choose to restrict the rights of different people based on politics, not on an interpretive constitution. Whether you like it or not, American citizens have the right to keep and bear arms. That has been determined, interpreted by the Supreme Court of the United States in the Heller decision. That decision only applied to the federal government. And then again, in the McDonald versus Chicago decision, that is a decision that applied to the states as well. Unfortunately, you guys, don't want to recognize that constitutional right. All through America, America's ripping itself apart. Basically, we're ripping ourselves apart because, like true Americans, we demand our own rights respected while we actively work to restrict the rights of another. And that's unfortunately the true pattern of American history. I first emailed you back in April of 2019. I believe I asked some questions, but the first email I sent you about my constitutional rights was May of 2020. And yesterday, I finally got a response from you guys. It took you damn near a year to actually get back to me about a constitutional right. I wasn't asking you to comment on some mundane, obscure issue. I'm asking you to comment and engage in a conversation with me about a core constitutional right granted to the people of the United States by the Constitution. The Second Amendment that was passed. Massachusetts was the state that the revolution started in. Now I have 22 emails here. For those of you on the phone, I'm holding up 22 printed emails. This consists of 36 pages of information, thoughts, answers, questions, that I've asked directly to the Board of Selectmen. 22 emails, 36 pages. Some of these are pretty long, some of these are pretty short. It took 8-10 months for me to get a response from you guys. And remember, I'm talking about a core constitutional right of the United States of America. In those emails, the questions that I've asked that pertain specifically to my constitutional rights are all on this document. It's 2 pages. I just went to those emails, copied and pasted them out, and stuck them in this document. And I'm going to read all these questions I've asked you. And some of you who are unaware of these emails, some of these questions will appear quite out of context and seem kind of random. But like I said, I copied and pasted them out of emails with context. So I'm going to read them all to you. The first one I sent to you was on May of 2020. Can I count on the town to protect all of its citizens' individual constitutional rights? Does the town believe that it is constitutional for government to use its taxes, to use taxes and fees as a way to limit the ability to exercise rights? Does the town believe that individual constitutional rights are fair game for taxation? Would it be constitutional to make people buy a permit before they're allowed to exercise their Fourth and Fifth Amendment rights? Should we ban people from exercising those rights if they're willing to pay a tax? Can anyone give me an example of another right that is criminal to exercise before you pay the state a fee? Will this town respect our rights, or will the town continue to violate individual constitution, the individual constitutional rights of its citizens? Is anyone now going to get back to me about my previous two emails? Did I expect any kind of response about having to pay for my individual constitutional rights, or the request concerning the town's oath of office? Is anyone going to respond to me about my? Is anyone going to respond to me? Is anyone going to respond to my questions about having to pay for individual constitutional rights? At this point in the questioning of you guys is when I printed off all these emails and I handed delivered them to you, each one of them. I printed three copies, hand delivered each one of them to you, the select board, at before town meeting. No response. So I continued. How can the state that started the American Revolution be this hostile to one of the rights we fought for? At this point, it's my birthday. I lost my constitutional right, a constitutional right I've had my whole life. I lost my constitutional right with absolutely no due process, not because I was unwilling to give Chief McDonald my paperwork, not because I was unwilling to undergo a background investigation, not because I was unwilling to submit my fingerprints to Chief McDonald. The only reason I've lost my rights is because I refuse to pay for them. So I lost my rights with no due process, and the only way I can get them back is to pay for them. That doesn't sound like the America I learned about in school. Anyway, after I lost my rights, I sent you guys all another email. Why do we ask our elected leaders and law enforcement to take an oath to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States of America if the expectation is that they will enforce state law regardless of any constitutional inconsistencies? That is another one I printed off, that whole package of emails, which included the letter I sent to Chief McDonough, included the letter I got back from Chief McDonough. I printed all this off and hand-delivered it to you. Nothing. Still no response from you. I kind of got disheartened, gave up, you know, whatever. We have government by a few for you. Those of us don't really... You know, those of us who are outside the bell curve on the edges don't really get a say. Yes, but anyway, I disconnected for a while. And then on January 6th of this year, I sent you this email. Are you watching the news today? How do you, the Board of Selectmen, determine which one has a valid constitutional argument and which one is just complaining? Do you believe you have any responsibility for ensuring that the individual constitutional rights of town residences are respected? Do you believe that it is acceptable for the town to raise money by taxing the individual constitutional rights of citizens? How do we move forward as a society when we don't have a common understanding of the word liberty? Why didn't you stay and talk? This one was on February 9th, a little less than a month ago. Why do I keep wasting my time writing to you? Do you find it at all hypocritical that you expect me to follow your rules when you won't even respect the constitutional rights of he citizens? Do you kick people out of Sawyer Hall the second the meetings are over and leave without talking to anyone, or have you been violating the law up until now? How can any local government expect the people to respect their governing framework when they don't even respect the Bill of Rights? So those are the questions that I've pulled, and those are only the questions I've asked the select board, or you guys. That's the only questions I've asked the select board. That list is only the questions I've asked that pertain specifically to my Second Amendment rights. I've asked a whole lot more questions. And I believe that one meeting you tried to answer one of my questions, but you completely misunderstand it. So it's basically the point is mute. It took me 10 months to finally get a letter back from you guys. Here's the letter I got back from you guys. For those of you who are on a phone, I'm holding up a letter and showing it to everybody. Here's another copy of that letter. I've highlighted two different sections. The top third has to deal with my constitutional rights. The bottom third has to justify why you guys didn't stay and talk to me. The bottom two thirds, I should say. So one third of this letter is about the, you know, page after page after page of me asking you to respect my constitutional rights. And the two thirds of this letter is you justifying why it is that you can't speak to me. Any one of you can speak to me at any moment by yourselves as individual citizens. I understand you can't speak to me in groups, but any one of you could have reached out at any time and spoke to me, but you didn't. So like I said, one third has to deal with all of this. I'm holding up all the emails again for those of you on the phone or those of you whose email's a little glitchy. And it's this, you know, people are pissed. Americans are angry, and I think this is a perfect example of exactly why. You know, I'm telling you my constitutional rights are being violated, and you're acting like I'm talking to you about something mundane and irrelevant and, you know, just not important to you. But, you know, in certain states right now, gay people have fought for their rights to get to this point. And the only reason they have the rights that they do in this country is not because of democracy. It's because the Supreme Court correctly interpreted the Constitution to make sure that gay people had the right to liberty just like the rest of people. You know, I've always fought for every single individual's constitutional rights, always. I've been the only person in a room in a conservative area of the country fighting for the rights of gay people. And all I'm asking you to do is simply respect my constitutional rights, and you can't even respond to a single question. This email I got from you guys, this message I got from you guys does not answer a single question I asked you. I have a page and a half of questions I've asked you. And the only one you chose to answer in depth is why you didn't stay and talk. You ignored every bit of fact that I presented to you. You ignored every single honest constitutional question I've asked of you. And, you know, I can understand why people are getting so frustrated. Not that I justify it. I think it's incredibly wrong. But I can understand why people stormed the castle. I understand why people stormed, you know, Capitol. I get why anger has built to this point and boiled over. It makes perfect sense to me. I'm not, you know, I believe that, you know, violence is never the answer. Never, never, never. But, you know, a lot of people don't believe the way I do. And, you know, when you refuse to engage in honest discussion, you leave people little choice but to speak out at meetings and yell out of turn. And, you know, that's the reality of America now. You know, in your email, you said, "We've heard your arguments. You should not have to pay a fee for constitutional rights." Not a right, rights. "We respectfully disagree. I'd like to know what other rights you guys feel it's perfectly fair to charge for." Because this isn't like, you didn't say, "I'm sorry, it's the law. There's nothing, we agree with you. We'd like to have a discussion. You know, this is maybe something we might be able to help you out with." You just straight up dismissed me. The fact is, I'm in a blue state trying to exercise a red right. And I guarantee you there's plenty of people in red states trying to exercise their blue rights that have to deal with select board members who are equally dismissive. And America's just going to keep tearing itself apart unless, you know, we all coalesce around maybe one common cause. And we're not going to do it about anything. The Constitution is the only thing we got. You know, we can't even get people to believe in basic science. Well, fact is determined by the party you belong to, and your rights are determined by the state you live in. And if that doesn't represent a complete imbalance of what it means to be an American, I don't know what does. You know, I've said this to you over and over and over and over again. I used to believe that climate change was going to be the biggest threat to my daughter's future, but it's clearly civil war is going to be the biggest threat, because we choose to demand our own rights are respected, but we also work against the rights of our neighbors, you know? And that's just the facts. I respect every single American's rights, and I will continue to respect every single American rights, regardless of which state I live in, whether it's Kansas, Alabama, Mississippi, Georgia, or Massachusetts. I was listening to NPR today, and 33 states introduced 166 laws trying to restrict the rights, the voting rights of the citizens of those countries, those states. You know, that is wrong. That is wrong. We all have the right to vote. We all have the right to own guns. We all have the right to speak. We have the right to worship whatever God we want. You know, my daughters have the right to control their own destiny. You know, no state government is ever going to control my daughter's healthcare choices. They can make their own decisions, but no state is going to have a say in it. And the only way we're ever going to heal this country is by respecting the rights of our neighbors. And clearly, I'm in an area of the country that doesn't respect the Second Amendment. And, you know, I don't know what else to say. I basically feel like I've screamed at you. I've tried to be nice to you. I've tried to just to ask you straightforward questions. I've been kind of a jerk and interrupted you in meetings. And let's be honest, the only reason I got a letter is because I was so forceful. It took 10 months for you to just dismiss my rights in writing as easily as you dismissed them in person. That's all I got to say. You know, it's too bad I don't live in an area of the country that respects the Constitution. You know, this, you know, we seem to be in this constant debate. Respect my rights while I disrespect yours. Would you like to answer any of those questions? I believe I have some time left.
Thanks, Jesse. Is there anyone on the select board that has anything they would like to add? Gloria?
Yeah, this is Gloria, Jesse. I would, I don't think I'm disrespecting your rights by disagreeing with you. I do agree that you have the right to own firearms. I'm just disagreeing with you about having to pay for your firearm ID. So I do respect your rights. I just disagree with you about the fee.
Brian?
This is one of my daughters.
The other thing is,
you have to pay.
That's
you have to pay this state before she's allowed to exercise her constitutional rights. Should she be able? Should she be able to exercise her own health care choices, or should you, or should that be a decision left up to the state based solely on her ability to pay the state a fee?
We don't make the rules; the state makes.
I understand
those rules.
That. I didn't ask you to do anything for me, but answer questions. If you look back through all the emails, I didn't ask you to take any asking. I asked you to answer questions.
Jesse. You have grievance. You have a legal process to go through the courts if you have a grievance.
Right. If that's only available to rich people. That's why you get away with this stuff, because I've got just enough money to pay your fees, but not enough money to pay for fight to protect myself.
Brian. I guess that Mike, what is it that you want us to do?
I would like you to ask Chief McDonough why it is that he chooses to took an oath to protect the Constitution. He took an oath to protect the Constitution and enforce state law. The Constitution has supremacy over state law. I've laid out a clear argument as to why Massachusetts is in violation of the Constitution. I would just simply like a simple explanation as to why it is that he's choosing state law over constitutional rights. I have no problem with Chief McDonough. He's engaged with me in several discussions about this, and it's you know, I was upfront and I was honest. He talked to me, I talked to him. We walked away with what I believe to be a mutual respect. But I think that's a legitimate question. I would also like you to ask the exact same questions to Maura Healey and Charlie Baker and Adam Hines and Paul Mark. Paul Mark co-signed legislation for me at my request. But the idea that you can't do anything for me is just false.
Brian, anything further?
It's ripping itself apart.
I just totally disagree. I don't think there's any proof that this is your constitutional rights are being violated because you have to pay a fee for processing.
I lost my constitutional rights on my birthday with no due process based on an arbitrary expiration date.
Excuse me. As the chair, I am going to now ask that there not be argument back and forth. That wasn't the point of this. We very much wanted to give you an
opportunity.
So I want to say that we're not gonna have the argument right now, back and forth. So I'm just giving the opportunity for my fellow select board members to make comments, and let's just let Brian finish. And then Jesse, I'll go back to you, please.
I apologize.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think you would need a court ruling to say that this is a violation of the Constitution. And I don't see any court ruling to that effect.
You're just ignoring it.
So we have only so many powers. We don't have the powers to change the Constitution or make rulings about what's legal or not legal. You know, the courts are settled that. The state passed the laws, and we enforce the laws that we're entrusted with, as does the chief, the police chief. And it's not up to us to interpret the law.
That's what the Supreme Court's for, and they've already interpreted it, and they've said it's an individual right. It's the right of the people, no different than speech, religion, press, you know, due process, you know, right to self-incrimination or to not incriminate. You know, I have the right to be secure in my possessions and effect. Which one of those are being charged for? So you're saying it's fair game to charge for all of those.
Brian, did you have anything, any other comment? I'm going to try to wrap up.
No, I you know, we follow the law and to the best of our ability.
As interpreted by who?
By the Supreme Court and by the...
Okay.
It would be illegal in your mind for the state to charge my daughters a permit before they're allowed to exercise their own healthcare choices.
So I'm going to ask for kind of a closing statement. Gloria, do you have anything else that you would like to say? Gloria? I think I lost Gloria. Probably. Brian, anything that you would like to say?
I have nothing further.
Okay. Jesse, if you want another couple seconds to any closing statement, and then we're going to kind of move on.
Okay. So you believe it's perfectly... Okay, let me bring it back to this.
Just a closing statement.
We've heard your argument. You should not have to pay a fee to exercise your constitutional rights. That's a plural, rights. We respectfully disagree, it says. So what other rights do you believe it's constitutional to charge for?
Is this your closing statement, Jesse? That's what we're at right now.
No, this is so you guys are going to avoid a discussion. You're going to use the formalities of this format to avoid a further discussion. This is why we're at this point. I tried to discuss this with all of you guys in a public format.
Actually, as the chair, I am going to...
22 emails and 36 pages of paperwork, and you have three sentences to say to me about this in writing?
Jesse,
it's no wonder America's so screwed up.
Jesse, I
greatly appreciate it. I'm not going to be done.
And you have a quick statement, or I have to mute you because we got to move on. So if you have a quick
perspective, just like I'm willing to respect the rights of all my neighbors, I lost my right on my birthday with absolutely no due process. Not because I was unwilling to tell you who I am, not because I was unwilling to, talk to Chief McDonough, not because I'm unwilling to give my fingerprints. I lost it due to an arbitrary expiration date because the clock struck midnight. Does that sound like a constitutional way to exercise your rights?
I completely understand that you're frustrated, Jesse. We hear it, and we've done what we can do at this point.
I don't think you do. I mean, there's plenty you can do for me. I didn't ask you to do anything, but other than answer questions and perhaps write a letter.
Jesse, we're going to end now. So thank you.
You're asking me to respect this format, but you don't even have respect for the Constitution of the United States.
I think you got to be, Robin, you got to mute him. We're done.
You're muted. We're done. All right, Jesse, thank you. We're going to move on. So the next item is building maintenance. Is there any updates on anything building maintenance wise? Brian, do you have anything?
I still don't have anything back from the engineer. I sent him another email this afternoon asking him if he had come up with another solution, but he hasn't responded yet.
Okay. And I needed to ask him, I was going to ask you this earlier and totally spaced when we were on the phone. John Lively was going to call, and you know what? I think I gave him the office number, not your home number. Did you get a message from him for the door lock sets?
No.
Yeah, I'm going to give him your house.
That's fine.
I spaced. I made a mistake and gave the wrong number. I thought about
that
today. Okay. Is it okay to give your house number?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Gloria, anything on building maintenance?
No. Sorry, I messed up before. I hit the wrong button.
That's okay. As long as you're still here.
I am.
All right. So building maintenance. The other item, next item on the agenda is COVID 19 municipal protocol concerns updates. Gloria, anything from you on that?
Nothing.
Brian, anything from you on that?
No.
The only item I had, Hilma, I wanted just to ask, because I want to confirm that what I was saying earlier is correct, but I did make the comment that there's been no money spent that I'm unaware of. Maybe you could help me know that if there is anything that I'm not up on. Nothing's been spent on going from a Cat 5 cables to Cat 6 cables over at that school building for temporary move. Am I correct in saying that?
That is correct.
Okay.
All right. As far as I know, there have been no extraordinary expenses for town employees working over at 18 Jacobs Road.
Thank you. I just wanted to make
sure. We have been able to use what internet is there between the hotspot and the Crocker internet.
Okay. All right.
I have a question. Is anybody over there? Like, is Alice there?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize that. Okay, mm-hmm. Thanks.
And sometimes
so the phones are worked out.
We've worked out a solution that works for now. Yes.
Okay, thanks.
I just didn't want to speak out of turn because I might have missed something.
Nope.
Okay. Anything else on COVID-19? I got the update on vaccines from Betsy, so we're good there earlier. Okay, so the next is other business, and the first item is the Mass Cultural Council grant. Do you want to do a little reminder for us on that, Hilma? And that's actually, there's a notification of that in the mail.
Yes, there is, in mail part 4. It's basically the annual Massachusetts Cultural Council grant award. I believe it's $4,800 that's been allocated for this year, and it's what the Heath Cultural Council then divvies up between applicants that they deem worthy in terms of either individuals or organizations that are engaged in some kind of function or activity in terms of promoting the arts.
So you're looking for us to do a motion to accept this?
Yes, please.
Okay. I make a motion that we accept the Mass Cultural Council Award to the town of Heath.
A second.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Gloria, aye.
Brian, aye.
Robin, aye. Thank you. Next item was the Golden Cane designation. We've done that. Then we have the Mohawk Trail Woodland Partnership grant land acquisition. Hilma, you want to give us the update on that? I know we have one.
Yes. Well, I did a bunch of research with the assistant assessor, Alice, in terms of determining like what parcel of land it is. And I also, I believe, as I mentioned last week, I had reached out to town council to ask them for like an estimate or a quote for doing the title search. They got back to me today, and because of the imprecise boundary descriptions, as they call it, of land, they didn't feel they were able to give a very exact quote. And depending on how much research was involved, it could run into like a few thousand dollars. In which case, I guess my recommendation would be for you folks to accept the proposal from the title search company that Mike Cucciera had contacted. It seems like it definitely would not be as expensive as our own town council. And it, the quote that he got comes with title insurance, so that if there was any difficulties in the future, in terms of ownership dispute or anything like that, the insurance would cover that.
All right, Gloria, any questions? I have no questions. I think it's a good idea to go with the other guys. Okay, Brian, any questions, thoughts?
I agree. I agree with that recommendation.
So let's have a motion.
I'm trying to find out the name of the company. I'm looking through the mail here.
Law Offices of Douglas J. Bruner.
Okay. I move that we engage the services of Law Office of Douglas J.
Bruner
for the title search up on off Flag Hill Road.
Okay.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Gloria, aye.
Brian, aye.
Robin, aye. Thank you. Next item is the consideration of new members for the Municipal Light Plant Advisory Committee. And we are in receipt of three sets of credentials, three individuals that are seeking, they're interested in placement on this committee. And we did have recommendation. We looked at that last week from the Municipal Light Plant Manager. Is there, let's see, so how about some discussion? Brian, do you have those in front of you? Does everybody have those in front of you? I guess I should make sure. We have, yep.
Which email package is it?
Yeah. Helma?
Oh, I'm sorry. It came in late this afternoon, but I received an email from the MLP manager on behalf of the entire committee, and I had forwarded the credentials to them. They reviewed them, and in the email this afternoon, they said that their recommendation remains the same, that they were still recommending the same two individuals that they did last week.
Okay. Thanks, Emma. The credential lists, Brian, are in part two. Mail part two. And they're right in a row, 1, 2, 3. There's a couple resident emails right before them, but.
The person that I had in consideration was David Gordon, because he did work for a utility company, and I thought it might be a chance for him to participate, but he wasn't enthusiastic about being appointed at this point. He was interested in keeping track of what's going on with the municipal light plant. So he said he would dial into some of the meetings. So anyway, that leaves us with three candidates.
Yes.
So certainly, And Emmett seems well qualified and has experience in this field. And I guess I would have to agree that Paul DeVrodi has more experience in terms of financial management. Anyway, those are my comments.
Okay, Gloria?
I have pretty much the same comments, and I think that each of the two people that are recommended have their own niche so they can help support, but also be a part of the committee in a way that no one is doing right now. I know that someone with a wealth of financial information or experience is going to be really helpful to Sheila with trying to, you know, and just someone as a backup, and someone with Anne's experience can be utilized in many different ways. And I think they're both great.
And I agree. I agree with everything that's said. I did my highlighting. I appreciate Anne's telecommunications industry background, and I zeroed in right off on Paul's financial background, the daily financial functions, managing, the analysis, modeling of financial impacts. I mean, these are all some of the things that are going to be really being talked about in the next handful of months, I believe. So I think we're all on the same page. So I would seek a motion for appointment of two new members to the Municipal Light Plant Advisory Committee, Anne Hoskins, Emmett, and Paul DeVrodi.
I move that we appoint Anne, Emmett, and Paul DeVrodi to the Municipal Light Plant Advisory Committee, and it's also based on the recommendation from the Municipal Light Plant Advisory Committee and MLB manager.
Second.
Any further discussion?
I would like Karen. I would like to thank Karen Brooks for her willingness to pitch in and help with this.
Yeah, she's got some great experience. It's just not necessarily what they're looking for right now.
I agree. But I would also, I'd like to encourage folks that feel that they could be of assistance to this committee to be reaching out to them, because we've always said that just because we put, we have individuals that go onto committees, that does not exclude other people's ability to work with these folks. I think that, you know, if you have a skill set that can be of value to a committee that you know of, you're interested in helping, you should be reaching out. And the committee should be welcoming that assistance. So if there's any further discussion? If not, all in favor.
Gloria, aye.
Brian, aye.
Robin, aye. Thank you, folks. So, Hilma, you reach out to everyone, let Anne and Paul know and get them up and going, and please send a letter of thanks. Karen?
Yes, I will do that.
Thank you.
Excuse
Next me. Item.
Oops. Excuse me, Robin. Sorry, this is Alice. I have an assessor piece. I have to leave, and if I could interrupt briefly to see if I can secure a spot for next Tuesday evening for a classification hearing for the tax rate.
Yeah, I have it to talk about when we do our agenda, but yes, I have it down as the assessor's requesting that the classification hearing happen first thing next week, first time slot?
Yes, please. I have to post it tomorrow to the newspaper, so I have to have a time. That's why I'm asking.
7:05?
I'm sorry, what?
I do 7:05. That gives me time to open it up and get people checked in.
Do you mean 6:05?
6:05. I mean, sorry, 6:05. Yes, I do.
Thank you for catching that, Gloria. I was a little shocked.
I was wondering why you were staring at me like that. I see these eyeballs.
Okay.
I've seen a lot of eyeballs piercing.
Yes. Okay, so as long as that's, I just can't make the appointment, I can't put it in the paper and secure the time and then have it not at that time because it has to be legally posted. So I just wanted to have that piece of information before I do the paperwork for tomorrow to the newspaper and subsequently for the rest of the week.
I am fine with that unless Hilma tells me some reason why we're not. Robert, chair, you can do anything you want. Well, that's something I'm not thinking of, which was I just did a minute ago. Even I make mistakes, you know.
No.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, people point them out to me all the time. So if that works, Alice, let's go ahead and post it.
Okay, perfect. I will take care of that tomorrow when I'm in the office, and then I will plan, unless something tragically goes wrong, I will plan on seeing you all at 6:05 next Tuesday evening.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night, Alice.
Thank you. Good night.
Okay, next item is Green Communities Update. We have a contract with, how do they say this? Energia. I hadn't really paid much attention or known too much about them, but I see their vehicles like every day now on the trail.
Yeah, I saw when I drove back and forth to Springfield, I'd see them a lot, the 91.
Yeah. Anyway. So does everybody have an opportunity to review this?
Yes.
You want to speak to it, Brian, at all? You have anything to add?
This was a contract that was based on the bid documents that were developed by myself and Andrea. And she put together the contract for services. So I recommend that we approve it.
Gloria, any?
Does it say anywhere in here that I couldn't find, because maybe I'm not paying attention, how much it's going to be for?
It's about 16,000.
What?
Which package was the contract in?
It's mail one.
Mail one. Okay.
On page six, on my page six anyway. I just don't see a price in here, and I just don't understand that, honestly. Is there supposed to be one?
It was my same question.
What?
It was my same question. I thought that it was just me.
Honestly, I'm glad it's not just me, because I'm like going, wait a minute, I've looked at this a million times. I don't see any dollar signs in here. I want to accept it. I know how much it's supposed to be. Well, it says under the price quotes when they say attachment A, and we just don't have that attachment right now. So,
yeah.
Does that cover it? I don't know.
I'm trying to see if I have the bid. Usually, you have a line that a line on the contract that has the contract amount.
Yeah, it just says, together with request for price quotes, attachment A.
Well, I can ask Andrea if that's the way she's been doing the contract to include the bid form with it. But it does seem a little bit odd to me.
Yeah, it seems odd to me too.
Well, and if you read the next paragraph down, it says this agreement together with attachments A and B represent the
right.
Entire. Where's B?
Yeah.
So there's nothing. Anything.
Where's A?
That's what I mean. We got neither one of them.
We got certificate of liability insurance.
This is all that came.
So we'll have to reach out and ask for the rest of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I really want to do this sooner than later, but I don't want to approve something that sort of has a blank dollar line in it.
We know what the amount is, and we could just approve as soon as the form of contract is correct that we agree. Oh, no, it has all of our signatures on here.
Actually, it only has two.
Well, but it means that more than right. Just the chair.
Yeah.
So, all right. So
we just ask for everything for next week.
Can we approve this contingent upon or something? I mean, I hate to wait another week.
I know, me too. But the form has to be correct.
Yeah, we don't even know what B is, though. You know, attachment B, we should be. I mean, they signed it without even having those things.
Yeah, I mean, well, they probably have the attachments. I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, I just don't feel comfortable signing something when it's sort of like signing a blank check.
Right. Yeah, no, I don't think so. We shouldn't sign it.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
So, I want to.
I know, me too.
Hilma, would you want to talk to Andrea or do you want me to talk to her?
I'll do that.
Okay.
Yep.
Just say we need to. The two attachments, and we should have another, either we should have only one select board person sign or there should be three. And there's a certificate of insurance here. So maybe that's one of the attachments. But generally a contract would have a line for the amount.
Yeah.
I mean, it could be reference to the bid, but that's just not the way I'm accustomed to it. So, Hilma, you said you would do that?
Sure, I'll reach out to her tomorrow morning.
Okay. If there's any questions that you have, I should be around.
Oh, I see. Now that I'm reading it for the 100th time.
What, the A and B part?
Yeah.
Right.
So we might be able to vote this in, because attachment A is the request, is the RFQ. So we know what that is. The RFQ that was sent out is attachment A. The price quote, RFQ, undertaken under Mass General Law for installation at Community Hall,
right.
Is
attachment A.
And the submittals received by whatever in response to the solicitation. So that's their price. That's that price that they submitted that we had, that form where they signed the non-collusion and all that. That's attachment B.
Okay.
Their price. So we... as long as attachment A and attachment B are those items, once it's all put together.
And actually then, attached.
Yeah, that is a full. I mean, we could vote it based on, because we received B already. When we got the prices, we got the price from them and that other company that never came to the building. There were two prices in our packet.
Right.
So... I mean, up to you guys, just throwing that out there if you don't want to hold up the week.
Yeah. I
don't want to hold it up. So, sorry, Brian, go ahead.
No, I'm good with approving it contingent upon getting the contract form in order.
Because we've already voted forward with that. We already, I'm pretty sure, didn't we, Hilma? We voted to accept their price. So we've accepted the number, now just making sure the contract form is in and then signing it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. So let me see if I get this right. I move that we accept the contract or the agreement for services from Energia for the installation at Community Hall contingent upon receiving attachments A and B.
Right. Attachment A, which will be the RFQ, and attachment B, which will be the response to the solicitation from Energia.
Right. That's what I said. No.
Yeah.
I'll second that.
Thanks, Ryan. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Gloria, aye.
Brian, aye.
Robin, aye. Great. Well, that's good. I'm glad I reread it for I don't know how many times, because I think I only read it a million times and still didn't understand it. Okay. Response to BOH. So I was able to connect with council today, and there is finally, after calls back and forth, but Mark is going to be sending us an email. It didn't make it for the meeting tonight, so it's my recommendation. I hate to say it, to push this one more week, but I'm just opening up the floor if there's anything that anybody else would like to speak to on this. Because Brian, you were the one who kind of started this. Do you have anything you want to talk about tonight?
I do want to send this response off because I think the original letter to the board contained some misconceptions and erroneous assertions. So I do want this to go out. So I am willing to wait for a response from the attorney.
Okay. So you're good waiting till next week. Gloria, any thoughts, or are you okay with that?
I'm okay with it.
Okay, thank you. Okay, wonderful. Let's see, town. You want Helma? You want to do the town coordinator report?
Sure. Would you like to review the minutes first?
We can.
You have to skip over that due to time constraints.
What?
We had to skip over the minutes. Time constraints.
Yeah, we can do that. Yeah. Okay, so we'll do the minutes. So we're looking at the meeting minutes, Ta-Nehisi Select Board virtual meeting, February 23rd, 2021. Gloria.
I don't have that much, and what I do is kind of picky. Sorry, Helma. There should be a comma after Robin's name under call to order. I mean, this is not intense, but... and then under Green Communities update on the last page, it says Brian reported the Energy Advisory Committee met last week. I wanted to add the word week and take out the word will, because I, anyway. under Town Coordinators report, Northeast IT. Instead of town emails were established, I think it maybe should say town email addresses.
Yep.
Under internet hotspot, near the bottom where it says alerting residents to the availability of the space and giving direction of, I'd like to take out the word of and just put the word for in there for the different methods. And that's it.
Brian, do you have anything?
I was going to say the same thing that Gloria said about Green Communities update, but the date is actually March 3rd, tomorrow, that the next meeting is. And I did get the report. We got onto the contract for Energia, but I meant to say that the engineering report arrived today for the analysis of the conversion from fuel oil to electricity HVAC systems at the community hall. And I forwarded that report to Helma.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll discuss that tomorrow night.
Nice.
the engineer agreed that he would dial in on Zoom tomorrow.
Great. Anything else in the minutes?
I have nothing further.
Oh, and I'm all set too, so I'll have a motion.
I move that we accept the minutes of February 23rd as amended.
I'll second that.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Gloria, aye.
Ryan, aye.
Robin, aye. Thank you. Okay, Helma.
Okay. So, Northeast IT. So the town email new addresses seem to be all working okay. There were a few glitches with a couple of the accounts, but I think those issues have all been resolved. So what I am planning to do is to send out like a townwide email blast, kind of announcing that these new email accounts exist for folks that want to email about regarding town business, and hopefully they'll kind of switch over to you on matters. The other Northeast IT item about the upgrade quotes, I notified them, and things are already in the works. I know the licensing has been purchased. An email came through today from Microsoft. So I know that's all already been done. I'm sure the equipment is been ordered, and that's being accumulated. As soon as they have all the equipment, they will schedule a time to come on site and do those upgrades. The Mohawk Trail Woodlands Partnership, the second grant, basically we already went over in terms of what took place over the previous week regarding that. Let's see, the next thing, Maya offered an orientation for their online classroom. And basically they're almost all their like trainings that they have are all virtual for convenience and, you know, compliance with COVID restrictions and all that good stuff. So the virtual training was kind of going through what types of trainings are available for employees. You know, they all deal with like safety, welfare, interpersonal communication among employees, those kind of topics. And of course they're geared towards lowering possible risks for employees or like insured equipment, that type of thing. And so I was thinking that it's probably worth kind of doing a little promoting among employees because number one, it provides safety training for our employees. Number two, as we complete various trainings that Maya has, they give us like credits, which translate into policy reduction costs. And, you know, it's like, okay, we're helping ourselves in more than one way. We're helping ourselves perhaps stay safer as employees, and we're also minimizing what the town needs to pay for some of our insurances. The following thing, you know, with a lot of help from one of the FERCOG people that I'm working with, Allison Gage, We've gotten two different news items. One is posted to our website. Pat McGann very nicely was able to build a new page that's devoted to the MVP grant. And you know, as things progress, there will be updates on this on that page. The other news item was an article that I sent to Heath Herald that'll be coming out in the their April 1st issue. So things are starting to slowly move forward in terms of the designation grant to develop the MVP plan and also to update our hazardous mitigation plan. And late this afternoon from Charlene, but the her post office supervisor has sent a letter and basically has given permission that any retail business at our Heath post office will stop at 1:15 each day. That means she will not be selling stamps. She will not be dealing with outgoing mail, that type of thing. The only thing that will happen is if somebody comes there to pick up a package that has arrived for them, she can give them packages. But otherwise, the last 15 minutes of the day is so that she can devote her time to doing her record keeping and that type of thing. Basically, that's my report for the week.
Great, thanks, Selma. Gloria, do you have any questions?
No, thanks, Selma, but I do have, we need to somehow let everybody know about this post office thing because I can just see people saying, well, you're here. So I'm not sure how, I mean, we can put signs up. Charlene's obviously going to have to tell people. Does this start immediately or do we have a week or how is that going to work out?
I believe it starts immediately.
Okay. We just need to somehow let people know.
Well, we'll do, I can post like a news item on the website. I can send out an email. It's partially going to have to be up to Charlene to turn people away. She does shut her machine down. And
oh, good.
Yeah.
Fine.
And once her machine is shut down, she cannot take outgoing mail.
And I assume this also holds true for transfer station stickers?
I would think so.
I would think so. I mean, she needs this time to get her paperwork together. I totally get that because she's always working late to get it done. I know that. So we've just got to let everybody know and put a big sign up or something.
Yeah, signage.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Brian, do you have any questions for Helma?
I don't.
Okay, great. Thanks, Helma.
Mm-hmm.
Last item is mail, email. We've gone over most of this. Part one is residents' comments, is the contract for the installation. And then some thanks for COVID care recognition. Thanks to Sue Gruen for all of her work and efforts put forth in COVID vaccination care. Anything in part one, Gloria, you need on the agenda next week?
No.
Brian, anything in part one?
No, I just would note that Claire and Sheila were also mentioned in thanks.
Yeah. Yes, thank you. I don't have that in front of me. I apologize, but thank you. Part two is resident comments, the resumes for the ML pack that we've reviewed, a picture and some commentary about the broken sign in the front of Sawyer Hall. Do we need to talk about that, Helma?
What's that?
The broken sign at Sawyer Hall.
Well, that might be something to put on a future agenda. If you read, I think it's Tim's second email, where he offered a suggestion of considering cutting down that tree and moving the sign over to more on the corner where it's not directly under the roof, the incline of the roof. So that seems like a future agenda item.
Item. Okay, agree.
Yeah, that ice went flying, didn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. Wow, I'm glad no one got hurt.
Mm-hmm.
We have the email about the regionalization grant award. We've talked about that. We have the email about free cash. We didn't talk about that during the FinCom. So free cash certification, $122,524. We have email in regard, resident email, elected officials, the town nurse report, the regional Franklin County dog shelter year-end meeting invitation, some information from KP Law in regards to statewide reopening plans, updates, and the Hallamont News. Anything in part two for discussion next week, Gloria?
No, could we find out, well, maybe yes. The Hallamont thing, they're having a school committee meeting yesterday. Was that yesterday? I can't remember. Yeah. I'm just curious if we could find out if they're going to vote to go hybrid or what. I guess we could just ask Bob or Budge. Budge, I guess, is the one that goes.
Selma, could you send out an email and get an update for us?
Yep.
Please.
Thank you.
Yep. Brian, anything on part two?
Well, the email about the terms of the finance committee member, we should see if there's something we can do about that, about staggering those terms or reorganizing or something.
Yep. We'll put that on for discussion. Then part three is the bulk of it, other than a notice of rate increase from KP Law. The bulk of that is in regards to the special permit for the pole that came to the select board and went to planning. Now it appears it's coming back to the select board. So, and there's also some information in there from KP Law determination for representation. So the determination for representation is not something that we need to act on tonight. That's going to be on hold per council until they have a chance to review the newest packet that we received. Hilma, do you know, did this go to council from Cal, these new changes?
Yeah, the new application and everything.
Yeah.
Yes, it did.
Okay. So Mark hadn't heard or hadn't had a chance to be brought up to speed on that. So we have more information that'll be coming on that, but we're going to, that should probably go on the agenda for next week for us to discuss at least an update as to what we need to do, right?
Yes.
Okay. Dates and everything. So that's really the bulk of part three. And then part four.
I have a question. Sorry, Robin.
Go ahead. Yep.
If we don't sign that thing saying that Mark can represent both towns, is he going to even answer or look at this email from Lark and from Y Valley?
Yeah, Mark told me today not for us not to act on it, even though this is coming. He knows that it's coming, so.
Oh, okay. I just wanted someone to look at this because,
yeah,
it's disturbing.
Yeah. He didn't want us to sign yet until he sees what there is, and they may have to make a change to that letter. So that's what he wanted.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Yep.
Thank you.
Yep. And so part four was the Mass Cultural Council, the letter, the grant award. We've done that. And then the title search, we've talked about that. So, Brian, anything from three or four? Any other questions?
No.
And Gloria, anything on four?
No. Thank you.
Great. So that's the mail. Agenda for next week.
Tax classification hearing.
Yep. And we want to talk about this that we just discussed, the poll.
Yep.
The terms of the finance committee, too.
The what?
The term, so that we don't end up with having all of these terms expiring in the same year.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Yep. Also have building maintenance. We should keep COVID just to be safe. And then other items I'm sure will come up.
DOH response.
Maybe next time we should look at salary, look at that.
The salary survey.
Thank you. We could do that next week.
Okay. And I think we need to, I know the COVID thing has kind of disrupted everything, but we really need to discuss the facilities report recommendations.
Yeah, is that going to be next week?
The original one, or is this something from the new group?
No, the original one. We never really fully discussed that. So we should review that, and I don't know when the best time to do this, what meeting, but we just don't want to let it drop.
And are we just going to review the whole thing in general or anything particular? I mean,
I would review the whole thing in general to start. I mean, that's.
Yeah, I think one of the really important pieces is, as since we don't have a lot of time here, we've got a couple months and we're working on this budget, we really need to dig into are there budget items, are there costs for any of our facilities that we have got to really get in place for next fiscal year? I mean, that's really important.
Yeah.
It's really important.
So that report from the new committee too is a vital piece. I'm guessing it probably doesn't have a lot of numbers to it. It probably is recommendations. And if they need numbers, that takes a little bit of time. So I don't know how quickly we'll get that report back from the new committee, but we really got to press to hopefully get that back. I mean, I'd love to have it for next week, but I don't know where they're at. So maybe, Hilma, you could kind of feel them out and see. I think you told me they're meeting tomorrow. If they're going to have something ready for us for next week, we could put that on the agenda. We could tag team the two and kind of just do a general review of the original report and then look at those, you know, their new report, at least look at it and then set up further conversation, but at least get it on the agenda since we're not doing any budget hearings next week. That's my thought. All right, and then things will come up as they do. Thank you. Anything else, Gloria, for tonight?
No, I'm good, thank you.
Okay, Brian, anything?
No, I'm good.
Hilma?
All set.
All right, thank you all. So, how about nothing else? We have a motion.
I move that we adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Gloria, aye.
Aye.
Rob and I. Thank you all.
Good night.
Rob, you want to talk?
Okay. Anybody else want to talk? Robin, would you like to talk, please?